We only read you the two, and that deals with a watchman who is asked a question and gives an answer. The question was, what of the night? And the answer was, the morning cometh and also the night. And I think these are the words that we will have you keep in mind as we bring you these thoughts tonight on 2 minutes to midnight. That isn't my title, really. I didn't put it there. Well, I put it on there, but it came out of somebody else's thoughts that we will mention later on. But for Israel, they're the ones to whom these answers came. Actually, the times were grave. And for Israel, they were momentous days. And I think few in that day realized the significance of what was happening in the world of their time. And that is the same condition that we find in the world today. There are only a handful of people out of the millions that are on the face of the earth today that know and understand to any extent at all what is going on in the world today. And it is because of that that we have, fulfilled some of the words that we can find in Matthew 24, where Matthew writes the words of Jesus when he is saying, when the question comes as to the future of mankind, the future of the age, he is saying in verse 6 of that chapter, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." Those were words Jesus spoke in relation to some questions that were given to him, and that's about as far as we're going along that particular line in a sense. But Jesus is speaking about a chaotic time to come, a time when things are not going to be too good, when we are going to hear wars or of wars and rumors of wars. Can you remember back when you haven't? Pretty hard, isn't it? But it seems like it's cropping up much more frequently today than it did back when I was a little younger. Those are a part of the fulfillment that speaks again of an end of an age. The death, destruction, desolation, these are the things that Jesus says is lying ahead for mankind. These are things for which we need to watch. Earthquakes in divers places. I don't know as it says much about hurricanes, but we know what hurricanes can do. We've been reading about it in the papers for the last few weeks, haven't we? Where it wrecked a pretty fair share of a Central American country. Earthquakes are happening in places where they've never happened before. And we read about it and pass it over as if it has no significance whatsoever. And for the vast majority of the world, it doesn't. Only those of you who study the Word of God, know what it contains, really understand the significance of these things that are happening. And of course, another thing that I suppose we could read it in Matthew, but I'm going to go to Luke for it, is found in the 21st chapter of Luke. And in that chapter, we go down to about verse 26. And Jesus is speaking of a time when men's hearts shall be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There's a lot that could be said. Two or three sermons probably could be preached from that one verse, and we're not going to spend the time that way either tonight. What we are suggesting is that the time is coming, and I think now is, when men are afraid of what is happening on the world, and they can't see any way of correcting it or changing it or making it any better. One man not too many years ago said, and I liked his the thing that he said, and I copied it down. This is what he had to say: not a man in the world today, there is not a man in the world today that people feel actually knows what is the matter. If there were, he would be appointed dictator unanimously by the whole world. Now, don't think he's too far off. We are looking today for someone who can bring order out of chaos. Now, that may not be quite the proper word, but out of the conditions that we find today, we're looking for a man that will change things. We're not overly happy about getting a raise in salary and discovering it don't buy as much as it did before. A few little things like that discourage us a little bit in our living, to say nothing of the unsettled world conditions. We're living in constant fear of what may be happening in the east end of the Mediterranean Sea, and wonder sometimes just how long conditions are going to exist there, even as they are, and how long it's going to be before they get worse. I think there's no question that most people feel that this time is coming sooner or later when we're going to have an explosion over there that involves the whole world. And I think they haven't gone quite far enough. Very possible when that happens, it's going to involve powers from on high as well. And the end of an age will ever come. One of the other things that I find being complained about today, I hope you're not complaining about yours the same way, but men today are amazed that the pulpit is so silent about what is going on in the world today. And I suppose they have a reason for it. I listen to sermons and over the radio and over television occasionally when I'm traveling. And I don't suppose there's one out of every 100 that deals with anything that has to do with what is in the scriptures. They're dealing with economic situations and things of that sort. I'm not sure that's the job of the pulpit right now. The job of the pulpit is far different than that. We're living in momentous times. We're living in dreadful times. We're living in the end of the age, and it's time we were warning people of what's happening. And we neglect it for what is going on in the world in our time from the standpoint of the laity and not from the standpoint of the pulpit. And it's time we were changing and giving people a knowledge of what they can expect to come yet upon the face of the earth. Those, said General Grover at one occasion, and this is a few years ago and I don't think things have changed much, said, those from whom the warning should come remain silent. I think he's right. Another one said, the world stands today on the brink of Armageddon. And you go outside of a few of the churches that study the Bible a little bit and you don't find anybody knows what that word Armageddon means. But if we were to go back to about the 16th chapter of Revelation, we would discover that it is a dreadful time that is coming upon the earth when God is calling all nations to judgment. I hear once in a while people telling us that this country is a spiritual country and it will never be involved in that judgment of the nations. And I have not yet been sure of where they get the information that this is a spiritual country. We have a larger percentage of crimes in this country than most any other nation under the face of the sun, I guess is the word I might say. I don't know what there is about it that makes it so spiritual. I guess it's our patriotic instincts rather than our spiritual instincts that allows us to say such things as that. A number of years ago, I was teaching science in high school. It was an interesting thing. I presume that this is probably the only science class that school ever had. in which we dealt with biology from the biblical standpoint and not the other standpoint. At any rate, we did discuss the Bible side of creation. We had to be very careful with it, but we didn't get any reverberations from parents or from the administration, so I guess we got away with it. But while we were doing that, we subscribed to a magazine. It was published at the University of Chicago, which at that time, and I think probably still is, the headquarters of a group of atomic scientists. The magazine was called the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. It had on every monthly issue on the cover the same picture. The picture on it was the face of a clock. When I first became acquainted with it, before I started even subscribing to it, the hour hand stood just short of 12 o'clock. The minute hand was over around 8 minutes to 12. And over the years, as I saw it from time to time, the hands changed on that clock, on that magazine. When there was an atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the world was rather startled about it. It was a dreadful thing to happen. It showed that finally men had unleashed one of the powers of God. And the minute hand moved a little farther on that clock. In 1949, when Russia herself had perfected the atomic bomb, the hands moved still farther and stood at 4 minutes to 12. 1950, Russia defied the United Nations, and Korea did the same with Russia, and the hands moved to 3 minutes to 12. Now, there was a time or two in between when the hands moved back just a little bit, when something happened that gave them some hope that there was a little longer time in existence, or time would last a little longer than what they had anticipated. At the present time, the hands on that clock stand, the last time new, and that's been 2 or 3 years ago now, it stood at 2 minutes to 12. What the scientists were simply saying was, when those hands reach 12 o'clock, that will be the end of all. It's the end of everything. Man cannot exist, will not exist beyond that time. He will destroy himself if nothing else. I think we have a different idea of what's going to happen when that time comes, when 12 o'clock actually gets here. A number of years ago, more than 5 years ago, a writer in one of his articles in dealing with the world situation said, the world has just 5 years left. What if he'd been right? We might have been all right if we were in the church, but outside of the church, we would have lost our chances. We don't know how much longer we have. We have no idea how much longer this day of grace that God has given to us is going to last. We do know that that hand is going to move that next 2 minutes, and perhaps rather suddenly some of these times. When that happens, it's too late. We had better be found in Christ and working for Him. He wasn't the only one that felt that way. A commentator by the name of Swing, probably within a year of what this other man had written, wrote almost the same thing. He changed it just a little bit. He says, we've got somewhere between 4 and 5 years left. Well, that 4 and 5 years is over now. According to them, we're living on borrowed time, you see, now. Mr. Stowe Another scientist who was writing about world conditions took a different line of thinking. See, I guess I should start over on this side anyway. Over here someplace eternity started, and where you put the line where eternity starts, you also put a figure eight on its side, which means what? Infinity. We don't know how much farther it goes, but say it starts here. He measures the time then down to the present, something like 6,000 years. Then he says we got 15 minutes at the most left. That isn't very many years as far as time is concerned in comparison with what has already passed. Dr. Simpson, who was the chairman not many years ago, the atomic scientist, says we have but a very short time left. And some of you, I think, remember a fellow named General Douglas MacArthur. He on one occasion said, Armageddon is at hand. Another scientist wrote, we have made the last great discovery. We have robbed God of one of his greatest secrets. And he was talking about the atomic bomb. Now, the thing that we're trying to get at when we're speaking this way about these various writers is the fact that they were not churchmen. They were scientists. And they were looking at the world from a scientific standpoint and recognizing the fact, even as the church is recognizing the fact, that time cannot go on indefinitely. God is a God of patience. But I think some of you may remember what happened in Noah's time. Patience ran out, and 8 people were saved and the rest destroyed. There was a time later when his patience ran out with a couple of cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And one man and his 2 daughters is all that escaped that one. His wife got a little too interested in what she was leaving behind and looked back and stayed there as a lump of salt. God is a God of patience, but someday his patience is going to run out with the rest of us. And he has promised that is going to happen someday. He is going to bring this earth into a time of perfection. He's going to destroy off this earth all of that which is wrong, which is bad, which is evil, including all of those who have not accepted his son or have defied him or who have accepted it and then fallen back. And I don't think we have very much time left. A man by the name of Dr. Morrison, who was a writer for the Christian Century magazine, said, and I don't like what he said, for this is what it was, I see more evidence of impending doom on the front page of the newspaper than from the pulpits of America. I think these are interesting comments, and I think there is a reason behind them. I think that when people who are in other areas besides that in which some of us are in and are recognizing and speaking about the impending end of an age, that we ought not to let them get ahead of us. I think Ezekiel had the right idea. And I'm going to turn to the 3rd chapter of Ezekiel for a little something that he had to say along this line. He said, beginning in verse 3 of chapter 17, Son of man, and while we normally think of that in the New Testament as an expression of Christ, he is talking to Ezekiel here, and I think he is saying to Ezekiel something that is for every one of us. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, I know that he spoke to Ezekiel and gave Ezekiel a task. These things happened as examples for us. And I think that is still as true today as it was then, and I don't think that we can apply it only to the ministers. I think everybody who has a knowledge of Christ or is in Christ or claims to be in Christ has got a task, a job to warn other people. We know that they are sinners if they are lost now, and we don't say anything to them about it. If Ezekiel is right, they're still going to be lost, but so are we, because we failed in the task that is ours. Now, I don't think we have to go up to them and twist their arms, but we definitely have to make clear to them what their condition is if they're outside of Christ, and especially if they're outside of Christ when the Lord returns, for then there is absolutely no possibility. The time is gone. Well, we might talk about some of the things that are going on today, too, that makes us wonder a little bit. Our social conditions are terrible. We have this lack of parental respect because the parents had never done anything to earn that respect or that love. We have kidnapping, murder, so many things going on in the world today. We have a lot of world conditions about which we are aware. Unsettled conditions. We don't know really what to do, who we can trust, for whom we don't know for whom we should have any respect at all. In the Mideast, Russia's not too many months ago is suggesting that she would like to come down and stop the war in the Mideast, and I don't know, for some reason or other, God wasn't quite ready for it yet. Maybe there are a few more people that needs to be converted and won before he brings an end to the age, for that is about what would happen if Russia would come down. We have some other things that are going to be happening back toward the end of the age in that last couple of minutes probably. One that is rather interesting, it's found over in Amos 8. And occasionally I like to bring this to the attention of people because I think it is important for us. Start with verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's interesting, isn't it?